Estes is on top. The 2-2 pick.
Time for the Southpaw.
And this one secures the shutout for Sean Estes.
On the Sports Leader. Former Giants All-Star and current broadcaster, the lefty Sean Estes.
Sponsored by River Islands. Come home to River Islands in Lathrop and discover $1 million lifestyle for about half the price. You can visit online today at riverislands.com.
On KNBR. KNBR. 104.5 and 6.8. 104.5 and 6.8.
All right, everybody. Well, Copes and I had a major 49er discussion. We got to downshift or, like, readjust and get back onto the Giants side of the boulevard because Copes and I were just getting into a passionate discussion.
You don't want to ask Sean Estes. Sean, thoughts on Nate Sudfeld?
I actually might ask Sean about that because Nate Sudfeld is going to be installed as a backup this weekend. Anyway, we're going to get to that later in the program. Right now, though, yeah, we bring in Sean Estes. We do have Adam Copeland in for Brian Murphy.
What's up, Sean?
Murph will be back next week. But, Sean, I think this is going to be our last check-in with you for a while, so let's make it a good one. It's been great having you all year, and Dodgers are on the ropes, buddy. It's elimination day, or at least it's an elimination game. So we got a little spring in our step today, Sean. How you doing, man?
Yeah, I'm doing good, guys. Yeah, this is it, man. This is a fun year. You know, obviously, you guys have shifted gears and started probably talking hoops and football, but
yeah,
there's still some playoff baseball to be done. But what a difference a week makes, right? In mood, I think last Thursday morning we were talking about, well, that was Game 5.
Yeah,
and I think the mood was a lot of anxiety, and now it's more disappointment and reflection. But the one thing that is similar to last week's to last Thursday is that the Dodgers have the potential to be eliminated once again.
You know, it's interesting. We spent some time yesterday, Sean, talking about the Dodgers and how they're managing not only this series but the whole postseason. And like you mentioned, Game 5, like, Dave Roberts did some unusual stuff there by kind of pushing Urias back. He didn't get the start at the beginning of the game. And, yeah, they won the game, but Mike Kruko told us yesterday when it comes to, like, Buehler, Scherzer, all their starters, all their arms, Kruko's take was like, look, these guys are taxed. These guys are out of gas. And perhaps we are seeing the results. Like, Buehler, I don't think, got out of the fourth inning 2 days ago.
3 2/3.
It's been rocky. So, I mean, maybe they mortgaged their, you know, this round to win the last round, Sean. What's your view of how Roberts has managed the arms so far?
Well, I think he hit the nail on the head. They are gassed. I mean, Scherzer came out and said that he just felt flat out tired in his last start, you know, and a lot of that probably had to do with the fact that he came in and pitched the ninth inning against the Giants and, you know, the emotions of that, getting yourself amped up to come in and pitch a ninth inning and then closing it down the way it did and celebrating with your team. I mean, you know, no pun intended, but there's a little bit of a hangover effect to that as a pitcher. And so then all of a sudden you got to shift gears and start a game a few days later. A lot of times that adrenaline isn't quite the same. It doesn't kick in like it should. And that's what you need. You know, you think in October, you know, a lot of guys are going to be tired, but that adrenaline is what gets you over the hump. And when you don't quite get that boost of adrenaline like you need, you can feel flat out sluggish when you go out there and throw the baseball and not have the same zip on it. So I think we are seeing that. Absolutely. I think the way that Roberts has managed this postseason has been a little bit unorthodox, as you know, that's how they do things. But I think we're now starting to see an offense in the Braves that really is on fire, and you can't afford to have guys go out there and not be at their best. And right now we're seeing, you know, these Dodger starters not at their best. So I think it might have backfired a little bit, to be honest with you, the way that he managed Game 5 against the Giants. I wasn't a big fan of just from a traditional standpoint. I wanted to see Urias start that game and go against Webb. You have two young starters, just, you know, lock horns and see how far you can go. See who makes the first mistake and, you know, kind of like the way it used to be. And to be honest, like, you know, the way the Knievel and Gratterall, the first two innings were probably the Giants' best opportunity to score. So it really could have backfired on the Dodgers. It worked out for them in that series, but now we're starting to see, I think, a little bit of the hangover from the Giants series, not just offensively, but just from a pitching standpoint for the Dodgers.
talking to Sean Estes on the UMA guest line. Sean, Paulie and I were out there on Thursday night sitting together for that game, and the second that last out was made, we bolted. Like, we were out of there. I was like, I'm not walking down this ramp. I'm not hanging around Dodger fans doing some chants on the way out. So we come in the next morning, we do the show, and it felt like, I mean, you're talking like hungover from that series. We felt hungover the next morning, not because we were drinking a bunch, because it was just draining. It was emotionally
draining. It was draining.
What was so funny is then Farhan and Gabe did their press conference or their postseason presser the other day, and they both admitted that they had like taken a few days and didn't dial into the LCS until game two or game three. And I was the same way. I like was not ready to watch baseball this weekend until probably Sunday night. I needed a little break or a breather from it. As a player, you got eliminated from the playoffs a couple of different times. What was that like as a player before you were willing to go back and watch ball? Or did you say, you know what, the season's over. I got my family. I got my friends. I got other stuff I want to do. What was your mindset when you were eliminated from the playoffs? And how do players handle this differently than fans do?
Yeah, players just want to get away. They watch it. They're not, you know, you don't set your alarm clock to the games, you know, and flip them on right when they start, and you're not locked into it like, you know, like probably a lot of the fans are. But yeah, you do still watch. I mean, I don't know if you just don't make it a priority. You know, if you spend a lot of time away from your families during the season, a lot of guys go home back to their hometowns. They have friends and family that they want to catch up with. And there's other things that happen. You know, there's plans that are made, and you're not going to tailor your plans around, you know, game three of the NLCS, right?
Sorry, honey, I can't go. Yeah, we got game three tonight. Yeah.
You have to cancel that wedding.
Baseball. Yeah. Yeah, as a matter of fact, I want you to sit right next to me.
Yeah, right.
Let's break this down. No, you just don't. You want it. You really want to just get away from it all. And you should. I mean, it is time to decompress and heal your mind and your body in the winter. But yeah, you usually do keep an eye on what's going on. I mean, it's the game you play. It's the game you love. You love, a lot of times you have friends on teams that are still playing. So you want to check in, see how they're doing. And then you always just lock in for the World Series. You just kind of, you know, you want to see the two best teams, you know, go at it. But some guys probably, you know, it depends on your personality. It depends on what happened in the previous playoffs, but depends on how well or how bad you did. Some guys just don't want to watch the team that beat them, or they don't want to. It hurts. You know, it's disappointing to watch more baseball because you're reminded of usually, you know, for the Giants, I think it can be a lot of positives, but you're reminded a lot of the negative, right, about how the season did end. So you from a mental standpoint, you just want to get away from it.
It's like watching your ex-girlfriend on a date with a different guy.
Yeah,
right?
It's tough.
Hey, check this out. Yeah, let's take a look at this.
Nobody likes that.
Nobody wants to see that. On the other side of things in the American League, Paulie and I have been praising all week and all morning Dusty Baker. I mean, it makes it easy to root for a guy when you've like got a horse in the race. We're fans of Dusty.
Our last connection to postseason, really.
We wanted to get a ring here. You played for Dusty, man. Yeah. What's he telling his guys game six or before game six, up 3-2 with a chance to go win this thing? He's a between-the-lines guy as much as a between-the-ears guy. What's Dusty saying to his team?
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.
Well, he's a master motivator. I mean, the guy, he really is. He lets the guys just do their thing. I mean, he's got some veterans on that team that'll run the clubhouse. He doesn't really need to do that. You know, there'll be times during a season where he'll, you know, have a team meeting and say all the right things and try to get the guys refocused. But this is playoffs. I mean, the guys are focused. He's got a veteran crew that's been there before that has the experience. They know how to win. He's not concerned about that. But, you know, individually, if there's certain guys that need to be, you know, need a little pep talk or need a confidence boost, you know, Dusty will call you in his office and he'll give you that pep talk and you'll feel like a different man when you leave the office. You know, you'll feel more confident. You'll feel like he believes in you. And really that's all you want this time of year. You know, as a man, you just want your manager to believe in you, because you know, who knows when your name's going to be called on to maybe come up, pinch hit, get a big hit for the club, or coming out of the bullpen, get some big outs. And if you're a guy that just, you know, maybe struggling a little bit, you know, Dusty's the right guy to talk to. He really is. I mean, that's really where he is, where he, through the course of 162 games, that's really where he is a huge asset, is just he's ultra positive, and he's lived, you know, a lot of the experiences that you have lived and that you will live. So he's just a great sounding board. So, you know, I'm not sure what he's going to tell his boys. I think that coming off a win like they did, I don't think he has to tell them much. The confidence is soaring right now, and they're back home, and they're gonna try to take this to the house. You know, you always want to celebrate in your home park.
Yeah.
You know, and so they have an opportunity to do that now by having the home field advantage. So they'll be pumped, and I'd love to see Dusty in the World Series. I mean, he's taken, I think, 5 teams to the playoffs and not
it's crazy.
Have a World Series. So I think maybe this is his year.
Sean, I'm trying to remember, and I wanted to ask you about Valdez yesterday. Nice outing there. Goes 8 strong in Fenway Park. And I was just thinking about your career. Did you ever pitch at Fenway Park? I don't remember.
I've never stepped foot in Fenway. It's unfortunately the only big league ballpark I'd never been to, and I've never been to Boston. Whoa. I mean, you think with interleague play,
that's
played in the American League. So.
Right.
That had a little bit to do with it, but the fact that I didn't play him in interleague play, I mean, they played against teams that I was on, but I never actually went to Boston and played in Fenway. So I was always saying, I have a couple older boys that are, you know, in high school that play baseball.
Yeah.
I always thought it would be a fun trip to go out and watch like a Red Sox-Yankee series in Boston, take a trip back east. I was hoping maybe one of my kids would want to go to school back there, maybe give us an excuse to go there.
Yeah, yeah.
But at some point, that definitely is on the list, you know, things to do.
Well, it's an amazing yard, man. I mean, I've been there a handful of times, and, like, the seats literally, Sean, the seats are right on top of the field. I mean, you could basically have conversations with the players. That's how close you are. And to see Valdez go in there yesterday, totally immune to the circumstance, that crowd was fired up at the beginning of the game. And he, I'll tell you what, like, silencing Fenway is no easy task, and he did that yesterday. And, Sean, just for guys like you and me and Copes, like, I just like seeing a pitcher go 8 strong in the postseason. It's the first time we've seen a starting pitcher go 8 deep. So for an old arm like you who used to go deep in the ball games, that's got to be satisfying on some level, right?
Oh, my gosh. That reminded me of the old days when we had a starting pitcher that – and that's what Dusty will do. He does have a lot of confidence in his starting pitching. And he believes that you know, that they should go deep into games. He still has that kind of that old school mentality. If you're throwing the ball well, and I like, you know, he sees from the dugout, the eye test, that he feels like you're strong. And he'll ask you, too, in between innings, how you feeling? And he'll look you in the eye, and he can tell if you're lying or not. Because a lot of pitchers will lie to you. They'll tell you they feel good, but they really don't, right? They're starting to feel a little wore out, or, you know, a little tax if they have, but if you tell him, hey, I'm feeling great, he'll run you back out there, and he'll give you a chance to finish the game if you want to. So I thought it was nice to see that, you know, a starting pitcher was able to go 8 innings for the first time, and it was a nice rebound because you know, Framber's had 2, you know, rough outings prior to that start, and that was in Fenway. So, yeah, the kid handled himself really well. He had 3 hits in 8 innings. I mean, that's as good as it gets. I mean, that was an offense, too, that's just been really clicking since they won that wild card game, and they have a ton of confidence in their home ballpark. So that was really impressive what the lefty did. Lefty did against that lineup.
Hey, I got to tell you, man, Sean, because we got to wrap up here, is that our listeners were really, really fond of these segments you've done with us all year.
Yeah,
we love having you on. Seriously, great talking baseball with you all season long, and we're very much looking forward to doing it again next year, Sean. So thanks again for all the reports, all the insights. Great to hang with you on the air, and we'll talk soon down the road, bro.
Yeah, guys, you guys have been great. Obviously, Murph, He'd headed out of town as soon as the Giants lost.
Yeah, he had to bail. Yeah.
But a little later this year than normal.
Yeah.
It was great. I had a great time with you guys this year. You know, obviously the team winning helps. There was a really good vibe with this club, a lot of energy. And I think the beauty of it is that, you know, now – I think this could be something that's sustainable. You know, we could be doing this every year. We could be talking about a Giants team being super competitive like we did from, 2010 to 2016. So it's always a good feeling coming into spring training when you got a chance. So now I think we're back to that.
Right on, brother.
Mode of thinking.
Yeah, so. Sean, thanks again, man. We will talk soon, and you be well. Have a good off season, man.
All right. You too, guys.
See you, man.
You don't have an off season, but yeah, be well.
Thanks, brother. All right. Bro, yeah. Hey, Sean Estes, everybody. Great season talking ball with Sean. We'll do it again next year for sure. I know our listeners dug it, and we dug it. He's just a good hang, good guy to talk ball with.
Have I told you this, though, when I was like 9 years old or seven years old?
Oh, he was the man, dude, for a while.
He was the man. He taught me. My dad did an interview with him at the Exploratorium here in the city. Dude taught me how to throw a four-seam versus a two-seam.
What year, like, would this be at the peak of his, like...
Dude, this was probably like 1998. Like, well, he might have been in his second year or his third year. Like,
don't forget, that guy started an all-star game for the National League. I think it was 97. He was a starting pitcher in the...
Shout out Giant starters in the all-star, Atlee Hammaker.
Vita Blue, 78
Matt,
did it.
Matt Cain.
Yeah.
Throw him out there.
2012. What year did... Vogey didn't start the game, but did Vogey make it in...
2014?
Something like that. He got in there once. I like when Bochy was a skipper. He started sticking dudes in.
Belt's
an all-star.
Yeah.
Vogey's an all-star.
Pablo's coming,
too. Pablo, you're in. You're an all-star.
Yeah, grab Javi. He'll come.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Somebody grab Romo. He's an all-star now.
You're in.
No, but he did. He got Vogey in there one year.
I like that, dude. Yeah. Wedge him in. Get Vogey over.
Tell Vogey he's an all-star.
Tell you what, if Bochy was managing the all-star game this year, Discofani would have been in.
By the way, you got to wonder if New Age Gabe would like do that kind of favoritism. You know, I don't really think it would be right to favor Yaz over some of the other bats I see in the NL. You know what I mean? Like, he might be such a Boy Scout that he wouldn't even do that.
He's talented, but I think we've got
to
play fair.
I had to have a hard conversation with Mike Yaz. I had to tell him, no, Yaz, not now. Maybe next year.
Mike Yaz.
I just gave him that handle. All right, guys, we're going to break real quick. We got Mike Kruko coming up at 7:30. Another deep dive into the postseason. Still licking some giant wounds, Copes? Or are we past that?
Sean started bringing stuff up. I was like, what are you bringing this S up for, Sean? Why are you bringing up old stuff?
I know.
Let the Dodgers get eliminated first.
A week ago today, Copes and I walked out or ran out of Oracle Park together, quite pissed off. It'd be nice if the Dodgers 1 week later also find themselves eliminated. That could happen in just a few hours.
Could not have sparked up fast enough leaving the yard.
No. We were out there. We got into the unmentionables pretty quickly, actually.
And I just mentioned the
unmentionables. Didn't take long. Yeah, it didn't take very long. All right, Mike Kruko coming up. It's Copes in for Murph on the Murph and Max Show on KMBR 680, the sports leader.
You met Lala Kent on Vanderpump Rules. Now Lala and her friends share everything on Give Them Lala.
I'm expecting my second child. Which is very, very amazing.
Congratulations.
We're all with child. You can say she's pregnant, she's knocked up, anything except with child.
Oh, I love with child. I'm going to be saying it all the time.
Yep.
Excuse me.
Yes.
6 feet, I'm with child.
Watch what Lala is talking about on YouTube or search for Give Them Lala wherever you listen.